Well, good morning, Friendship. How are you this morning? All right. Happy New Year. Man, 2017 has been great, hasn't it? Awesome coffee to start the day. It's like 23 degrees out. It's fantastic. Well, hey, we're starting a brand new series, and it's actually going to be what we're calling our seasonal series. We're going to start the year off with this, and it's going to be really 3 months in the making. And our goal during this series is to lay out from a simple, scriptural, biblical standpoint what it means to build a life that matters, to build a life that makes a difference, to build a life that you actually can just absolutely jump into with both feet and love and enjoy all the things that God has created, crafted, designed, planned for you to enjoy, planned for you to experience, the adventure of life that God has for you. And so our hope is that during this series, that it will be something that you can just gravitate to, that you can enjoy, and that you can experience as we do that. And today, we're going to begin with talking about what it means to be connected. Now, when we think about connection, we realize that typically we think relationships. And relationships are certainly a part of it, but it's not all of it. In fact, it's really not even the most important part of it. Although we understand that relationships are important, we understand that people around us are necessary, it's bigger than that. Because the reality is this, and this is our big idea, and if you miss everything else, if you're new to Friendship, I typically give this big idea, it's this one point, that if you don't get this, you know, if you get this, it doesn't really matter if you get everything else kind of just supports and builds and holds this up. And here's our big idea for today, it's simply this: an unconnected life is an unsatisfying life. An unconnected life is an unsatisfying life. Now, when we talk about connections, and we think about those things, we're not talking about being connected like having your cell phone with you at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, when you go to bed, when you wake up, when you're driving, which you shouldn't do, when you're in the bathroom, hey, that's weird, but whatever, you know. But we're not talking about having your cell phone with you. We're not talking about, you know, if the Wi-Fi goes out. We're not talking about social media. We're talking about things that are far more significant and far more tangible than that. Necessary connections like friends and relationships, like being able to understand what your meaning, what your goal, what your life is supposed to be like, being able to connect with something that's bigger than yourself. You know, that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize that's necessary until they understand and they start getting connected with something that's bigger than themselves, something that's going to outlast them. Something that's going to have a significance to people who they will never meet, but they were a part of it, and so therefore it made a connection in their heart and in their life, and they can see it making that difference in someone else's life. These things are absolutely necessary. In fact, not only are they just necessary, not only are they things that we want, they are things that we crave. And sometimes we don't even realize that we crave them until they're pulled out of our life and we don't have them. And the reason that we crave them is because we're made to crave them. We're made to want and desire these relationships. God created us and shaped us to live a life that is interconnected with those around us. He created us to live a life that is connected with the world around us and, quite frankly, is connected even to the invisible things that surround us. The Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 14, verse 7. It says, "For none of us live our lives for or to ourselves." None of us live our lives for or to ourselves. Now, pause for just a second. Don't jump to the second part. Let's focus on this part for just a second, because sometimes when we talk about life, we're talking about, okay, you know, trying to get to the end. You know, I know sometimes some of us, when 2016 was nearing the end, it's like, okay, can we just get this over with? Can we just get to the new year? But I want to tell you something that's such a powerful truth and understanding that you need to have. If you made it through 2016, you just didn't make it through. You came through with some extra stuff. And you're like, oh yeah, baggage. No, I'm not talking about baggage. I'm talking about the fact that if you had some trials and some difficulties, you conquered those things, you made it through those things, that means you've got some new tools and some new things in your bag, your toolbox of life that you can take with you to be able to have a better year next year, to be able to handle that thing when it comes around again better the next time. You see, sometimes we think about things like this in our life and we're like, it's all just about us, but the reality is every way you live life, it connects and makes a difference to everyone around you. And that's why the second part of this is so important. Because a lot of times, people don't realize what a difference they've made in other people's lives until they're no longer here. The second part of that verse goes like this, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. Now, how awful would it be if when you pass from this life to the next, that the refrain or the reaction of people was like in The Wizard of Oz when the Wicked Witch of the East was killed, right? Like, yay, the witch is dead. And then like the little Oompa Loompas come out and they start dancing. It's all fantastic. You're like, nobody wants that. Now, some of you, what's funny is some of you right now have somebody in your mind. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what we did. It was great. But the reality is none of us want to have that. We want to have a life that makes a difference. We want to have a life that when we leave this world, we've made an impact. In other words, we want to live a life that the impact or the influence of that life outlives us. The Bible says, listen, the reality is that none of us lives to ourselves alone and none of us dies to ourselves alone. The question is not whether or not you make a difference. The question is whether or not the difference that you make is worth it. And whether or not the difference that you make is a positive one. And so this idea of being connected is so essential because if we live in an idea or we live with the mindset that it's all about us, then we're not going to be connected the way that we need to be connected, which means that we're not going to enjoy life. Have you ever met somebody that no matter what happened, they were miserable? My dad used to say, you'd be upset if I gave you a brand new $100 bill, you know, because there'd be something you could find out that's wrong with it. Something that just irritated. Sometimes Tracy and I like to watch these house hunters, House Hunters International, and these people are buying houses in Fiji and all this stuff. And it's amazing to me, you know, they walk into this like 3,000 square foot house that sits on top of a mountain that looks over the beach that's like $12 or something like that. And they walk in, they go, well, I just don't know. I mean, look at that color. And I'm like, there's paint. Buy paint. And they're just complaining as they're walking. I'm like, you know what? You're in Fiji. Be happy that you're in Fiji looking at a house to potentially live in Fiji. That's fantastic. But they just complain about everything. And you know why? It's because they're living life for themselves, which means they're going to die for themselves. Living a life that's unconnected is living a life that's unsatisfying. You don't enjoy it. You don't get to watch it. We just finished Christmas time, New Year's. I'm so glad that y'all didn't stay out till 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you did, you drank a lot of coffee this morning. That's great. But we just finished Christmas. Those of you that are parents, let me just help put this connection into like a picture for you. When you watch your kids open up a present that you know they've been wanting, and you see the look on their face, and you have so much joy and excitement in your heart about a stupid, you know, baby doll or a stupid truck or something that you're like, you just know your kid wants, but because you are connected with them as a mom or as a dad, you probably got more excited about them opening that present than they did because you were connected. That's what it means to be able to have a life that is satisfying and meaningful because you are connected with others. But if you live unconnected, you live as if an island unto yourself, guess what? You're not going to enjoy life. And you're not going to have a life or build a life that matters. So what I want to do is I want to share with you three essential connections in life. And each of these connections, there's three ways that you can respond to it. You can either go, you know what? I need to start that connection. That connection isn't there. I need to start that connection. Or maybe the second one is that I need to develop that connection. In other words, maybe the connection's there, but you haven't done anything to really develop it, anything to help it grow, anything to help it flourish. And then the final one that you can do in reaction to this is you need to deepen it. You go, you know, I'm connected, and I've done some things to help it grow, but man, I need to go deeper. I need to have a better relationship with this. I need to have a better, deeper, stronger connection with this. And so wherever you are in life, whether you've been a Christian for years and years and years, or this is your first time ever in church, my challenge to you is ask the question when we go through these, do I need to start, do I need to develop, or do I need to deepen this connection? Because the deeper, stronger, healthier connections that you have in these three areas, the more satisfying, meaning-filled life you're going to enjoy, and you're going to start building a life that matters. The very first connection that you absolutely have to have, that is the cornerstone, the capstone, the foundation of every other connection in life, is that you need to first be connected to Christ. You need to be connected to Christ. We have this unique thing as human beings. In fact, it's really almost unparalleled in the natural world, that we have this longing, this desire to have relationship with things that are things that created us. In other words, if we're children, we want to have a relationship with our parents because they made us. You know, we're here because of them. I find it amazing. Every once in a while, you'll hear stories about someone that got adopted when they were born and they never met their birth mother, but then somehow they met this person, and all of a sudden there was this electric connection. They didn't really know what it was, and come to find out that this was their birth mother or this was their birth dad or whatever the case, and they began to build this relationship. It was so amazing, as if they'd never known each other before, but now they met each other, they'd known each other forever. And then there's this unique thing within us as human beings. You look at the animal world, and it's like, you know, think about it from a human perspective. Those of you that got a new puppy for your kids for Christmas, first of all, bless your heart. You're so sweet and kind to buy puppies that need to go outside when it's 8 degrees. Fantastic. Way to think that through. We did that last year. So, but you think about that. You go to this place that has this mom dog has had puppies, and they are 8 weeks old, and you pay a guy to steal this puppy from the mother. Think about that. Now, as you're going home, does a little puppy that you have start crying because, like, well, where's my mom? No, they're like, I'm going to curl up in your jacket because it's nice and warm in here. Oh, you're going to feed me and play with me? This is fantastic. Where did I come from? This is great. Because there's just not that connection that we as human beings have. We have this desire to know and have relationship with that which created us. The book of Colossians says that everything that has been created was created through Christ. He is the agent of creation. And so if you go, you know what, there's just this empty thing in my life. I've got all this good stuff, but there's just this thing. I just can't quite seem to figure out what that is. It's because you're missing that connection with Christ, the very thing that created, crafted, designed, and actually gave his life so that you could experience a rich, deep, satisfying life. The Bible goes like this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. In the beginning of the world, God created everything. Everything was perfect and everything was sinless. But yet Adam and Eve chose to reject God. And as they rejected God, sin entered the world. And when two sinners have a child, guess what? That child is born a sinner. And so every single person has been born a sinner since then. And the Bible tells us that the penalty, the wages, the payment of sin, when we sin against God, is both a spiritual death of the relationship with our Creator, but also a physical death where we die and we are forever separated from Him. And so Romans 5:12 puts it this way. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. It came into being. And Adam's sin brought death, disease, suffering, pain, hardship. And so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. Now, I know sometimes people are like, well, I'm not that bad. You don't have to be that bad. First of all, you probably are, because we all are. Ask the person and the people that you live with. They'll be like, oh, let me tell you, I've been keeping a list. Let's go through. Some things you need to work on, okay? Because we all are, but the reality is we understand that. We realize that there's something wrong with us. We're not perfect. Nobody walks around thinking that we've got it all figured out, we've got it all perfect. We call those people psychotic because they don't understand reality. And so when we understand this, we go, yeah, we understand that there's something missing. That thing that's missing is the connection with Christ. The Bible goes on and says this. In John 14:6, Jesus is talking during his earthly ministry, and he says this. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. You see, Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and sin brought death into the world, so death passed to every single man, woman, and child. But Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ came and he was born, the Christmas event that we celebrate, he was born through Immaculate Conception, through the Virgin Mary, and he was born not because of a man and a woman, but because God crafted within the womb of a virgin, therefore he was born without sin. And as he lived his life and in ministry and he gave his life, he died as a sinless person and he paid the price for your sin. So he died your death so you could have life. And so Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can experience the rich and satisfying life that I have for you. And he finishes it with this: no one can come to the Father except through me. No one. Now it sounds good, right? And we like it because we, in America, we like choices, right? I mean, think about all the fast food places that we have. Some, they're like awesome, right? Like Culver's and Chick-fil-A. Don't you wish they were open on Sundays? Because right now, everyone in the room wants Chick-fil-A, but they're not open on Sundays. But then you've got the other end of the spectrum, like, you know, Hardee's and Burger King and things like that. But they all kind of sell the same type of food, but yet it's all different because we like our options. And so as Americans specifically, we look at this and we go, there's got to be multiple ways to God. Maybe if I'm good enough, I can get connected with Christ. Doesn't work, because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Well, what about going to church? What if I go to church? You know what? That's good. That's a good thing. It won't make it connected to Christ. What if I give money? That'll do it, because churches love money. We know that, right? I mean, we see it on the news and on the, you know, TV and all the time. No, doesn't matter. What if I serve? That's great. You can be a better servant than Mother Teresa ever was. It won't make you connected to Christ. Because the only way that you can get connected to Christ is to believe that he is who he says he was. That he was the sinless, perfect Son of God, fully God and fully man, who died on the cross and paid for your sins. That's how you connect to Christ. And without that connection, you will never be able to experience the fullness that God wants you to experience. And you will never be able to have the type of life that makes the difference that God has for you. That's the first and most important connection. The second connection is, not only do we need to be connected to Christ, but we need to connect with his church. We need to connect with his church. There's a great passage in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 2. And after God created everything, he made Adam. He made the first man. Adam was perfect. I mean, he was just perfect. I mean, you ladies, you come up with your perfect man, and that was Adam. I mean, he would write you a song of poetry, and then he would go out and build a log cabin by hand. I mean, this is the perfect combination. You know, he's just perfect. And so God brings all the animals to Adam, because not only could he write poetry, not only could he just, you know, build stuff from scratch, it was fantastic and masculine, but then he was brilliant. And God brought him all the animals, and the Bible says that Adam named the animals by their characteristic. And so God brings all the animals to him. He goes, oh, well, that's a this, and that's a that, and that's a this. And I always wonder what he did when God brought the duck-billed platypus in front of him. He's like, yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? And so after he names all the animals, God makes this statement. And ladies, feel free to give a hearty amen on this, or that's right, or preach it, or whatever. But God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Some of you that's left your husband alone with the kids before, you're like, oh, let me tell you something. It is not good. We get bored sometimes. We make stuff up. It's great. Life was not meant to be lived alone. It just wasn't. Adam was perfect, but he still needed the human connection. He still needed other people around him. He still needed to have the connection with those who were moving in the same direction and doing the same thing. And that's why the church is so important, because once you accept Jesus Christ, God says, you know what? The next step is to surround yourself and be around people who are heading in the same direction. They want to know God more. They want to connect with God more. They want to get deeper in their relationship with him. They want to develop that relationship. They want to do that. And that's why the connection with the church. By the way, the church, just really quickly, time out. The church is not a building. This building is a building. It's steel and other stuff. I don't know. It's just a building. And we have said it from day one. If it would reach more people for Christ to tear it down and do something else, we'll tear it down and do something else. I will cry in my office for a little bit because of how hard it was to get all this done. But if that's what has to happen, because the building is just a building, it's a tool. The church is you. The church is people. And so we say connect with this church. It's not like, hey, I want to be this. No, it's connecting with other people who understand what it means to follow hard after God. So the Bible puts it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, talking about the church and the fact that the church, when you are connected to the church, it's there for you. The other people in the body, they're there for you. Some of you that are in small groups, you understand that, by the way, small groups are starting here in just a couple weeks, just in case you want to sign up. But 1 Corinthians 12, 26 is this: if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad or rejoice with it. You know, I know some of you have had some really big struggles this year, and I love to hear the stories about how things have happened and people who are in your small group or people who served with you on a volunteer team or whatever the case may be. You know, they called you or they sent you emails or they brought you food or they showed up at your house or they went out to coffee with you, because that's what it means to be part of community. That's what God's called us to be a part of that. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that not only are we supposed to be there for each other, but we're supposed to inspire each other. We're supposed to encourage each other. We're supposed to challenge each other to grow. It says this: so encourage each other and build each other up as you were already doing. Now, I know if you have grown up in church, maybe you grew up in church like I did, and church was not about encouraging and building each other up. There was a lot of backbiting and gossip and haranguing and attacking and undermining and politics. Let me tell you something. Politics has no point, no place in church. It just doesn't. Because the reality is we're supposed to be here to help and encourage and build each other up. It's so sad to me that when our world thinks about church, what they think about is the exact opposite of what God called us to be. We're supposed to encourage each other and love each other and build each other up. Now, sometimes building each other up means getting in each other's faces, right? Because, ladies, let me tell you something. You keep going down that road, you're going to destroy your life. You're going to destroy your life. You're going to destroy your kids' life. You're going to destroy your marriage. You need to stop doing what you're doing because we love you. Not because, listen, God doesn't like you anymore. God hates you. You're going to hell. Well, you know what? How about instead of telling people that they're going to hell, how about we show people how to get to heaven? That is what we're supposed to be about. The third thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, is that as a church, we're supposed to motivate each other. Motivate means pushing each other forward. Not like somebody getting up and giving this great speech and we're going, yeah, and then going home, you know? That it's supposed to be an action, a call to action. I love this because the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another. Do you know one of your jobs, one of your duties as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a part of the ministry of Friendship Church, one of your duties is to come up with creative ways to motivate other people to continue moving forward and deeper in their walk with Jesus Christ? That's one of your, you're like, no, that was written to the church. Yeah, that's you. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the elders. It's not about coming up with a program. What new program can we come up to motivate? No, it's about each other, motivating each other. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You go, why do I, listen, I've heard this before, and maybe you've heard it, and maybe you've said it, and if so, if you said it to me, I forgot that it was you, so don't, I'm not pointing you out at all. But I love just sitting at home and watching TV church. There are some great teachers and pastors on TV, okay? The vast majority are not, but there are some, especially if you're watching at midnight. There's some interest. I do that sometimes, But you are missing out on the bigger purpose of why you're to be a part of the body of Christ. You see, if all you ever do is sit at home and watch people on TV, you may be getting knowledge about God, but you are not experiencing the works of God. Because the Bible says that God works through his people. God challenges you through other people. God loves you through the hands of other people. God lifts you up and comforts you through other people. You're missing out if you're not a part of what God's doing. So one of the things I would challenge you to do is maybe you've been at Friendship for a while. Maybe you come on Sunday mornings, you're like, this is great. Maybe you even volunteer. Can I challenge you to do something? You go, you know what? I'm ready to make a real connection. We have this thing called Ministry Partner. It's not a member. We don't do members here at Friendship. Let me tell you why. We don't do members here at Friendship because the minute that you think of member, especially after New Year's, you think of a fitness club, right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you bought a fitness club membership? Like, oh, this year I'm going to lose 87,000 pounds. It's going to be fantastic. And I'm going to go to LA Fitness. And actually, I got an LA Fitness membership. And then I got a 24-hour fitness membership because they're not open all the time. And I'm going to do it like 14 hours a day. It's going to be fantastic. And they see you coming and they are so excited. They'll even give you a free t-shirt that you'll pay $7,000 for over the next 8 years of your contract. And you show up twice. And you're like, I feel good. I can button my shirt. I'm good to go. And you never show up back again. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of churches are like. They've got 10,000 members and 10 people on Sunday morning. We never want to be that. So that's why we call it Ministry Partner, because we expect if you make that choice that you are going to partner in accomplishing the vision of glorifying God as an effective and influential church because you are part of it and you're going to make it happen. So connect with Christ, connect with church. The third connection that's essential is to connect with your purpose. Connect with your purpose. You know, one of the questions that people tend to ask is, what am I here for? What's my purpose? Why do I exist? What am I supposed to do in life? It's really hard to build a life that matters if you don't know why you're here. And the reality is that many of us don't want to ask that question because it's a whole lot easier going through life and being busy than stopping and realizing that all you are is busy. If you are driving a truck and you get stuck in the mud and your wheels are just spinning and you look down and you see your RPMs are like 7,000 RPMs, you're like, man, I am going so fast. But you're not going anywhere. You're just spinning your tires. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people in our world are living life at 7,000 RPMs and going nowhere because they don't know their purpose. They've never connected with the why behind their life. So my challenge to you is if you really want to build a life that matters, not only do you have to connect with Christ and the church, but you've got to connect with your purpose. So when you think about it this way, maybe give you a visual example. You connect with Christ and it's this vertical relationship, right? It's you and God, you and Christ. And then you connect with the church, and it's like this horizontal relationship. It's the people all around you that are moving towards the same direction, and they're connected with Christ as well. And you're moving together and encouraging each other and challenging each other. And then the last one, the final one, is you connect with who God made you to be. It's an internal connection with the purpose that God put in your life. I fully believe that at the moment of conception, God puts something in each of our hearts. You can call it whatever you want. You call it your dream. You call it your vision. You call it your goals, whatever. But I believe that in each and every one of us, God has put something in our hearts to be and become. And if you were a kid and you were a little kid, we say, hey, what would you like to be when you grew up? You're like, man, I want to be bleh. And now as you got older, you're like, oh, man, I'd love to be, you know, a call center person. That's fantastic. I would love to call people on their loans and their debts, and I'd love to, you know, that's what I want to be. Nobody ever aspires to that, right? Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? That may not be what God's called you to be. And I'm not talking about a job here. Who's God called you to be? Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite verses. You've probably heard it a million times if you've been in church or It was really the beginning passage of a book written by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life, which sold, 20,000 billion copies or something like that. And it's a really profound but incredibly simple book. And the bottom line, the whole purpose of it, the whole reason behind it was, listen, God has created you for a purpose. And it begins with this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, which God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel who are in captivity in Babylon, thinking their lives were over. And God speaks this truth into them, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You may have finished 2016 on fumes. And you may feel like, I just don't know that I can keep moving forward. Can I tell you, if you are there, that's not the end of the race for you. The truth of the matter is that God wants more for your life. God wants to use you in a significant way. Now, you may never be famous, you may never be known worldwide, but that doesn't matter, because it's not about being famous in the eyes of the world. It's about being faithful in the eyes of God. And if you are consistent in following His purpose for your life, the joy that you will experience far outweighs any tangible thing that you can see or get in this world when it comes to fame or popularity or money or anything like that, because you're fulfilling the purpose that God placed in your heart. A parallel passage in the New Testament is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, which says this. This is what the Scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." You go, I don't know. I don't know what God has for me. That's okay. It is okay to not know exactly what God has for you, but here's how you find out what God has for you. You begin to do the things that you know God's called you to do. Number one, you connect with Christ. Number two, you connect with His church. You deepen your walk with Christ, and the more that you do that, the more that you follow, the more that you do that, the more you're going to understand the things that He's called you to do and the things that He's not called you to do. Not everybody's called to do messages. Not everybody's called to do sound. Not everybody's called to sing. Some of us know we are not called to sing. But you know what's amazing about the body of Christ? So as you use your gifts, the value that God places on what you're doing is exponential. I tell our volunteers all the time, when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, that is not because of what we do in here solely. It's because of what's done all over this place and in the parking lot and in the buildings and in your homes and in your neighborhoods as you're having conversations with people, because you are the church. And that's part of what God's called you to do. That's part of the purpose that God has for your life. So, as you think about those three things, what do you need to do? Is there one of those things, one of those connections you need to start? Is there one of those connections maybe that you need to develop more? You've allowed it to be very simple and you go, man, I need to grow deeper. Maybe that's where you are. You go, man, I need to deepen that. I need to give it legs. I need to put some meat on it. I really need to know what it is that I'm supposed to do. So this morning, on the bottom left-hand side of your connection card, on your worship guide, there are three things that you can mark. The first one is, today I accepted Jesus Christ. If today, for the first time in your life, you made that connection, you're like, man, I truly understand who Jesus Christ is, and I am making the choice to believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He was, that He died on the cross for my sins, I am accepting Jesus Christ today, I encourage you to mark that. We're going to pray with you here in just a minute, but I encourage you to mark that. Maybe for you, it's like, you know what? I need to take that step. I've been coming here for a while. I need to actually move from being just someone that comes to being someone that participates and is a partner here at Friendship Church. Or maybe for you it's that last one. You need to really commit to pursuing and getting serious about finding out what your purpose is. Because there is no greater joy that you can experience in life than to be able to fit perfectly within the plan that God has crafted for you. And one of the things that I've experienced is that it is better to be in the middle of a hornet's nest and the purpose of God than on an island somewhere and outside the purpose of God. You will enjoy that. I know that sounds twisted. Like, is that God's plan for me to put me in difficult situations? Maybe. We don't know. But the reality is that as you pursue your purpose, there will be more joy and more enthusiasm than anything that you'll ever experience in life. So the question is, which one? Which one and which area is God calling you to connect with today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the ability to make connections. We thank you for crafting within us this desire to be connected. God, I pray this morning for those maybe for the first time in their life, they understood what it meant to be connected to Christ. It wasn't about going to church. It wasn't even being a part of a church. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this relationship with the Creator. And God, understanding that who He is and what He did, that today they made that step. And God, I pray in the quietness of this moment for those who are in that point, I pray that they would pray that prayer of confirmation, if you will, to them, and they would pray something like this in their hearts and their minds. Dear God, I believe. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and I want to live my life for Him. Father, for those who are here today, maybe who are like, you know what, I need to take that next step. I need to connect with what's going on here at Friendship on a deeper level. It needs to be a part of who I am as I'm a part of who God is calling Friendship Church to be. I pray that they'd be bold, God, that they'd take that step, that they'd be a part of our next Connect workshop to be able to dig deeper into the community here at Friendship. And God, for those today who, as we were talking about their purpose, there's just a spark that went off inside of them. Maybe a moment of realization that they've just kind of been living busy, but they've not been living purposeful. God, I pray that today, as they sit here and think about that, God, that they would not let that fire, that spark just flame out, but that, God, that they would just like someone sitting around a campfire that's almost dead, they would just begin to slowly blow on that ember. Allow it to glow and allow it to burst into a flame to become who you've called, created, and crafted them to be, to experience the fullness of who you are so that, God, they can build a life that matters. God, we thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.